You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
There's a conversation happening in one of my social media spheres right now, Lonzo. I was going to get
one,
more.
One of your uppity ones or one of your ground levels?
One of my ground levels.
Okay, all right.
There's a conversation happening right now because it is one of America's favorite topics of conversation. That is, of course, Super Bowl prop bets that aren't about football.
About time we got to those. I thought you were saving them until the end of the week.
No, I was gonna start getting into those tomorrow. It's only Tuesday.
It is only Tuesday.
We still got three more whole shows to kill off.
Still filter in a couple here and there.
The one that is taking place right now is about the national anthem. Every year you can bet on the over-under on the length of the national anthem. And this is one of America's favorite prop bets to make. Will the anthem go over or under a certain length of time?
We're not getting Aaron Neville again this year, are we? It's been a while, but you know.
You are not getting Aaron Neville.
Okay, all right.
You are actually getting one of my favorite musicians on the face of the planet right now.
Oh, it's not a country person, is it?
It is not.
Okay, all right.
It is Jon Batiste. Jon Batiste is a, when I say fantastic piano player and blues and jazz artist, I don't know how to explain. Jon Batiste got into the public eye when he was the band leader, original band leader, for Late Night with Stephen Colbert. That's how he broke onto the scene. Jon Batiste just released an album, not but a little while ago, great one. Blues to Beethoven. He takes classical Beethoven, Mozart, etc., but he plays them on the piano, and he plays them and incorporates blues, R&B, jazz. So he takes these classical songs, and then he starts wailing on him.
Yeah, I think I told you about this. The lady who was giving me piano lessons was a ragtime pianist. And I gave her one of the songs I wrote. And she turned it completely into ragtime, which was amazing and not what I asked her to do. But still, I always find that cool when people can take something, put it in a different genre, and it still be good.
Yeah. I don't know that we can get away with playing like 10 seconds of one of his songs, but I kind of want to because it's fascinating.
Okay, so go ahead, bet the under because it's a musician. It's not a singer. He's not singing, right?
He can sing.
But is he singing the anthem or is he playing it?
My bet as a classically trained pianist and vocalist is he'll probably do both.
So we don't know that?
Don't know yet. Hence the prop bet. Now, here's the interesting thing. His over-under on the length of the national anthem right now is set at 123 seconds. 2 minutes and 3 seconds is the over-under set.
All right,
on
the
this.
Song sung at its normal time and sung like it's been for years. What is the exact length of the song?
I believe if you just sing it like a cappella, it's only like 70 something seconds, right? But this is the Super Bowl. This is the national anthem. In fact, I'll tell you what. Let's look at longest and shortest national anthem performance times at the Super Bowl. Let's see what AI has to say about it. You know, we like to roll with that. According to ChatGPT, great one. The longest Super Bowl performance of a national anthem thus far was Super Bowl 47 back in 2013. Alicia Keys did it. 2 minutes, 35 seconds. The shortest national anthem so far was Super Bowl 32 back in 1998. Jewel did it with just an acoustic guitar in 1 minute and 27 seconds. So the longest is 235. The shortest is 127. Jean-Baptiste's number is 2 minutes and 3 seconds, which would put him just about squarely in the middle.
So did Alicia, I'm trying to remember, did she play and sing?
She did.
I think she did.
She did. And not only did she play, but she played a very slowed, almost romanticized version,
correctly. She does things when she's at the piano, doesn't she?
Oh, Alicia Keys is.
Yeah, she's amazing. Ooh. I agree.
Goat status. Now, here's the thing about Baptiste, and this is where it's going to be interesting. The time starts when the first note is either played or sung. It ends when the last note is fully concluded. So if you get to 2 minutes and then he hits a break and it goes over, you're over. Okay? So this is the fight that's going on. Somebody popped into one of the threads and they said, this is the easiest layup of a prop bet either, because Jean-Baptiste has done national anthems on national stages before. He did one at the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. That one, great one, went 90 seconds. 1 minute and 30 seconds. And so a lot of people are like, well, this feels like a layup, right? At 90 seconds, you're giving me a full 32 more seconds. There's no way. But I chimed in and I said, wait. Keep in mind, a couple of things have happened. Number one, Jean-Baptiste has really come into his own as a commercially successful artist nowadays.
All right, I got to ask this. So I no one ever fixes anything. There's that kind of stuff doesn't happen. So there's no chance that an artist would look and see what the bets are about how long it's going to be, and then themselves or someone they know bet on them going over or under and them making that happen?
I mean, if you want to take the fun out of everything, sure, I guess that could happen.
Because technically, I mean, they're not working for the NFL. I don't know.
I'm going to go ahead and say, sure, I guess it could happen. But even if that's the case, I can still bet on it and I still don't know what's going to happen.
Because of that, I think he goes over. I'm not accusing him of that, but I've never really thought about anyone ever doing that. And there might be a couple back in the day. It's like, why are they putting that extra in there? It doesn't really add to, I mean, it even fell flat a little bit. They're trying to mess with the length of the song, aren't they?
I hope one day that I can get you out of this jaded, cynical mindset that you live in. There's another possibility
on
the table.
If you live life as long as I have, you wait for the day that you spill that drink.
There's another possibility on the table, and that possibility is these people know they will never, ever, 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 ever play in front of an audience this big ever again. And if you are a musician, with a few exceptions, performing's part of your blood, man. It's part of your blood. It's part of what you want to do. I am a performer, and I will tell you, you throw Rob Brown up on a stage in front of a couple hundred people at a dive bar, and I'm going to go off with a guitar and a mic in a way I would never do just at home in front of my wife, right? Like, I'm performing.
Yeah, I've seen videos. It's kind of...
It's very over the top.
It is, very much.
They're performers.
As if you don't think this already is a... Yeah, it's...
Oh!
It's a different level.
On stage rock and roll Rob is a hell of a lot louder and more over the top than radio Rob. Good luck, everybody. There's another angle to this, aside from Jean-Baptiste Knows, especially with an album that just recently came out. The second angle of this is Jean-Baptiste is from New Orleans, Louisiana, where the Super Bowl is being played. Now, that doesn't mean that the audience is going to be entirely comprised of New Orleans fans. Obviously, it's not. In fact, that will be a insignificant amount of the audience. But Jean-Baptiste will be serving as a representative of the city of New Orleans. And folks from New Orleans, like folks from any major city, they are very proud of their city. They are very proud of where they are from. And they want to do right by the city that made them when they are given the opportunity to rep that city on a major scale. Jean-Baptiste will have the opportunity performing in New Orleans to rep New Orleans to the largest audience he's ever played for at a point in time that he has a brand new album that just dropped, Beethoven to Blues. Jean-Baptiste, despite the fact that the last time he played the national anthem on a nationally televised sporting event went just 90 seconds, a minute and a half, is a different artist this time around, is a born performer, loves music. If you ever get a chance, there's all these interviews. Baptiste went on a media circuit, obviously, with an album coming out. Go to YouTube and watch Baptiste, because for these interviews that he was doing, great one, he sits and he does the interview at a piano, and he lets people ask him, hey, talk to me about how you would take this to that, or how do you infuse this or whatever. And he answers the questions, but he plays the answers. And you can see him seeing them. I'm a sports guy. I'm a NASCAR guy. When Dale Earnhardt was at his peak, somebody was talking to him about, how is it that you are so much better drafting other cars than every other driver? And Dale Earnhardt said, yeah, I can see the wind coming off their cars, right? I can see the stream of air coming off their cars. Some people just see the world differently. And Jean-Baptiste is one of these guys when it comes to music. He sees the music. I don't know how to define it. I don't know that he knows how to define it. But he can see the music, and you can see just the raw emotion in every place. So he's got an album out. He's going to be playing in front of the biggest audience he has ever played in front of or will ever play in front of. He's doing it in his hometown as a representative of his hometown. Everybody on this thread, great one, is going, it feels like under a minute or 2 minutes and 3 seconds is an absolute lock. And I'm trying to tell them, not so fast, my friend. This guy is performing. He is performing in his home city, representing his home city, and with a brand new album out that is going to be performed in front of the largest audience he's ever performed on. I got to think the over's very in play here.
Speaking of performing, I mean, you could be performing right now trying to get everybody to go a certain way, knowing that you're going to go under. I mean, you could.
Chris, can you bring your tinfoil cap?
You could. Mine has been surgically implanted underneath my wig. No. So you would never do such a thing to get other people to bet a certain way to make the numbers go up to get you more money when you went under.
The audience of the Rob Brown Show, the armada, if you will, is significant and growing. The audience of the Armada is the most important group of people in my life because they keep me employed. Lonzo, if you think that we have enough people that if every person listening at any point for a second or longer today all lodged an identical bet for $1 million that we would move a Las Vegas line, I'm here to tell you no. I'm here to tell you no. Well,
apparently, I have bigger expectations or belief of how big our audience is. So I think you need to think bigger.
No. What I don't think you have, respectfully.
What is the potential audience that we could have right now?
The potential?
Yes.
I don't know because we are in a million person market, but I also don't know.
We are also online right now at this very moment, and that goes everywhere.
Here's what I know. What I know is, and I say this not disrespectfully, I don't think you know how many people bet on this kind of crap in Vegas.
I absolutely know how
every
many
person
bet,
how many that is bet. Ever listened.
I know exactly the number of how many people bet.
Do you? What is it?
3,624. The problem is that one guy, he doesn't count because he has his wife do it.
3,6400. So
and 24. The 24. You got to remember the 24.
3,6424. How do I write that number? What's that number look like written out?
I'll type it out and send it to you later.
3,064 and 20. Okay.
So what are you doing now? So I was just joking about all that. So now you're trying to insult my intelligence instead of realizing that I was just messing the whole time. I even said early on in the conversation, as soon as you mentioned that he was playing and singing, I would take the over. I said that 10 minutes ago. And now you got to be hurtful. And we just need to go to break so I can go cry.
Jean-Baptiste, first prop bet of the week. And Lonzo and I are on the same side here. Both playing the over. Biggest audience he's ever played in front of. Got an album that just dropped. Repping his city in his city. And at a point in time where, based on everything that's happening, with my absolute terrible person of an owner and terrible owner, at a point where my city needs a little love. Lonzo and I agreeing on the over here.
By the way, I got my degree in math from a big bad booty daddy.
We got a 66 2/3% chance of coming back from this break, but Lonzo's a genetic freak, and if you add him to that, it means a 52 2% chance of coming back. That's a 3,640 24% chance of y'all finding us on the other side of this break on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk Patrick Mahomes. What was that? Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes for just a minute here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
I guess you didn't recharge all the way when you went to, because that's where he goes in the break because he's a robot and he recharges. We've got like this big battery pack in the office.
That was a struggle to get that out.
It's all right. You got there, though. You persevered. You came out the other side, and you are stronger for it, Rob Brown.
Dude, that was rough.
Next time, send Rod in. He'll probably do it better.
Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts here for just a couple of moments. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes and Jalen Hurts in Super Bowl licks. I'm going to start with Mahomes. Chase Daniels is a former quarterback, spent some time as the backup behind Drew Brees in New Orleans, Louisiana, went up, got some PT up in Chi-Town, Illinois, was in the league for a very long time as a very successful backup quarterback in the National Football League.
Was he a backup in Kansas City, too?
I believe he was in Kansas City. He was in a number of spots. Chase Daniels got around the league quite a bit. He was asked about his thoughts on Vic Fangio versus Patrick Mahomes on the Jim Rome Show, and he said this.
That's the thing. People forget that what Kareem Hunt did, and he is hungry because, remember, he was gone, and he wasn't there for the other Super Bowls. And now he's back, and he wants it. And you could tell by the way he was running last week.
I think Kareem Hunt is a big part of this. I just think when it comes to if it turns into a game where it's rushing game versus rushing game, I'm taking Philly. And that's not an insult to Kansas City or anybody else. That's just Saquon Barkley being Saquon Barkley right now.
Yeah, but they're not running against each other. They're running against each other's defense. So it depends on how the offensive scheme is.
I don't disagree. Both of these teams have excellent run stuff defenses. Both of them. Philly's, in fact, I would even go so far to say as good as Chris Jones is, I think Philly's run defense is better than Kansas City's. Straight up. I think Kareem Hunt has a lot to do with it. But there's two things I wanted to address. One of them I did a little earlier in the show. Chase, in that quote, in that take, in that soundbite, said something that I have heard parroted by a lot of people over the last couple of weeks. And that is Vic Fangio is 0-8 against Patrick Mahomes. 10 tutties, 2 picks in those 8 games for Patrick Mahomes. But as I pointed out earlier in the show, I think the worst thing in sports media is that nobody gives the context of their takes. I think if you look at those 8 games in context, and you look at the fact that Vic Fangio was the head coach of a bad Denver Broncos team, and you look into the context of, I'm not saying that there are any quarterbacks that have been able to, over the past handful of years, go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes, the starting quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. What I can say is I wouldn't bank on Joe Flacco, Drew Locke, and Teddy Two Gloves Bridgewater to be a guy that I would think was going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes. Those are the quarterbacks for the 8 games that Vic Fangio has stared across the line at Patrick Mahomes. Joe Flacco once, Teddy Two Gloves Bridgewater twice, and Drew Locke 5 times. Nobody on that list. If you say, I'm going to give you the best team in the NFL, but your quarterback is Flacco, Locke, or Bridgewater, I'm betting the Chiefs money line outright winners 10 out of 10 times. And then you could go so far as to say, well, wait a minute, Rob, there was that other number. 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Yeah, it's pretty standard for Patrick Mahomes, I think. Pretty standard. Now we can get into the defensive strategies of Vic Fangio, because he's not a guy who's going to blitz often. And on top of that, you heard at the beginning of that clip, Chase Daniels say, Vic Fangio now plays a lot of too high, a lot of too high safety. He's not going to blitz a lot. And when he does, he brings one. That's not necessarily entirely new for Vic Fangio. But I will say it is kind of new for Vic Fangio. And because, again, context matters in these conversations. A lot of that just simply has to do with who he has across the front 7 for the Eagles. The front 7 of the Philadelphia Eagles is one of the best front sevens that I have ever seen. It's a phenomenal front 7. Milton Williams on one edge, Nolan Smith Jr. on the other, Jordan Davis at the nose, Jalen Carter on the edge, Zach Bond, who has been spectacular playing at an all-pro level.
Wait. You're praising a defense that has a player named Milton on it?
Milton Williams. And he's not even like the third or anything like that. The dude is a dude. Josh Sweat at the outside backer/edge rusher is a dude. I have said a couple of times, behind Darius Slay at safety, the Eagles' defensive backfield, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Darius Slay, Cooper, the real deal, the great white hope, DeJean.
All right, so this sounds like a trivia question 5 years from now. Who was on the defense that Patrick Mahomes carved up in the three-peat?
I'm going to say this, Lonzo. If your offense comes into this game with that mentality, they will get cooked by this defense.
I don't know if you knew this or not. I'm just a fan. I have no influence over what they're doing. And by the way, if that happens, that will be the answer to a trivia question. Just remember the name Milton. So if you can remember Milton, then you got a shot at getting the answer right.
If the Chiefs' offense looks, and I'm not saying they will, or that Lonzo has any impact, although he does text Andy Reid on the daily, so we'll find out.
We're cheeseburger buddies.
If the Chiefs' offense comes into this game with that mentality about this Eagles' defense, they'll get eaten alive. I don't care how good they are. The Eagle defense, assuming that they are up and they play a good game, because they have had some letdowns. I will not push back on that. They've had a couple of letdowns. I think they let the Cleveland Browns, if I recall correctly, hang a 20 spot or close on them. If the Eagles defense plays a good game and Kansas City does not have their best day, this is a very losable football game for Kansas City. And it is because of the ESGSLE Eagles, for sure. Vic Fangio doesn't blitz a lot because he doesn't have to. The pass rush that they have put together, combined with a defensive backfield that I would say I am willing to put up against anybody in the league, they don't have to. Jordan Davis at the nose tackle is a guy who demands a double team every snap of the football. Jordan Davis is a guy whose name doesn't show up in the stat sheet all that often, but is the heart and soul of this defense. He ended the season with 4.5 sacks. He ended this season with, if I recall correctly, something like 18 tackles, like a tackle a game. It doesn't show up on the stat sheet. But if you watch this defense play, Jordan Davis is a big part of the reason that Zach Bond had a career year. That Nolan Smith Jr. is a name that if you've been following the ESLAGSLEAGSLEA Eagles,
impressive.
You know, it's because of Jordan Davis, because he eats double teams at the point of attack. And if you fail to double team him, your quarterback is paying the price for it. And that's not even getting to the guys on the edge. Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, Josh Sweat. These are names I've said a couple of times this week. They're names I'm going to say a couple more times. Don't get confused by thinking that the Eagle defense isn't aggressive if you are Kansas City. It is. They just don't need to blitz to get to your guy. They can do it by eating up blocks and letting a guy free at a linebacker spot to play off Mahomes. That's why I think this is a better matchup than a lot of people are giving it credit for. Let's take a break. Come back after this. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I know it's Super Bowl week. Super Bowl licks taking place this weekend down in New Orleans, Louisiana. But, and I got permission from the great one to bring this up, Lonzo, as he is watching his spawn's spawn make her foray into the world of shooty hoops, of hardwood basketball action. Lonzo had himself a experience at a youth league basketball game, and not only has he had an experience, but it's been a developing experience for the great one at youth league basketball games. Lonzo, tell the people about your most recent foray into the incredibly intense action that is 6 and 7 year old basketball.
I just want to say, you know, I got away from this for a while after the kids grew up. Now the grandkids out there doing this. And back in the day, you had to have the camcorder ready just in case something broke out. Now you got a phone, so you don't have to worry about it. It's a lot easier to capture footage, which I did not. If a fracas would have broken out, if there would have been a brouhaha, if there would have been a Donnybrook, I would have pulled the old phone out and would have went live with it, because maybe even on Word's page, because it would have been breaking news. I mean, and we are reporters. So as I'm sitting there, I hear, if he touches my kid again, I'm going to go down and touch him. It's a very accurate accent, by the way. And so when those sort of things happen, and I've been around where the redneck, I want to, it's contagious. So everyone around it starts getting into it, and you can feel the rumble of it starting. All right, I've seen it before, and luckily I've only witnessed it really have a bad effect during the World Series for my daughter. One of the parents, and I quote, said, "We rednecks." And as soon as they did that and started giving the umpire what for, suddenly the calls started going a different way. And he just looked at them every single time. And I was able to tell my son, see, this is why you don't act this way. So last night, if he touches my son, I'm going to, and you could just hear it getting louder, louder, and louder, to the point where my wife started turning around, and she couldn't hear it, but I listened for a living, so I could hear it. And I'm like, turn back around. Well, she got mad at me. Admittedly, she got mad at me. And I explained to her later, it's like, if you turn around and you make eye contact, you're in it. You are part of it. And when something breaks out, then you are also liable for everything, because they expect you to be with them. And then there were parents complaining about the ref. I saw the referee, who I just happen to know, start yelling at the other coach. So you got your militant coaches, your coaches that are teaching these six-year-olds the fundamentals that they should be teaching like 12-year-olds, and they expect the six-year-olds to get it. And there's some yelling and some things like that going on, and some pulling to the side and taking a time out to talk to them, because it just means, listen, I want to win too. These are six-year-olds. They're just learning how to do this stuff. Lighten up, fella. And to the point where the referee's like, hey, coach. And he, of course, was ignoring him. I'm watching the whole thing. So the referee has to blow the whistle and bring him over. And he's like, oh, you know, I didn't even notice that you did that. I was just focused on talking to my team. He's like, shut up, dude. Everyone here knows what you were doing. And these are little things. What I used to do is when my daughter and my son got to middle school and high school at different levels, because they're 4 years apart, I would go sit on the visitor side. If you go sit on the visitor side and you're real quiet, they don't talk to you or anything, but they will say stuff about your team. You can find out all kinds of stuff about how they really feel, and some of it's bad. I mean, you got to have thick skin, because if you go over there and they're talking about your kid and they're really mean or otherwise, you may have to say something. But it's a lot of fun, and I suggest if you are a parent who has a kid and you're like, you're just a dad there by yourself, just go over and sit on the visitor's side. It's a lot of fun. That was the last regular season game. We got playoffs coming up. Things might really get heated in the playoffs. I'll keep you updated. There will be video if a fight breaks out. Of course, I'll try to get my family to a safe distance while filming.
Mm-mm. Just grab the camera, push play, buddy.
Well, I can, you know, I can stretch out while ushering people away. I've got long arms. I got reach. I'll make sure it's in there.
I don't think, like, the list of aggravating people on planet Earth, people who still smoke inside, nobody likes you. Sorry, I'm not saying if you want to smoke, it's your life, it's your lungs. Do to and with them what you wish. But people who smoke indoors, just please know nobody likes you.
Also, okay? Those people, if you're going to light up when you leave, like, don't do it right at the door, because then everyone has to walk through it. But anyway,
go away from people. You want to smoke, smoke. I ain't judging you. Live your life, all right? Quit doing it where you're around other people. The list of people that are the most aggravating people in the world, without a doubt, are people who snap at waiters at restaurants. You suck. Nobody likes you either, okay? You're a bad person. Nobody likes you. Stop snapping at waiters. They're not your servants, all right? They are servers, not servants. The list of people who suck on planet Earth 1,000% includes youth sports parents who attack youth sports as if it's the damn NBA. It's not. Okay? Brayden stinks. Aiden and Jaden, they all stink. They are out here to get better. They are out here for two reasons. Number one, they are out here to learn about the great sport of basketball. And number two, they are out here to begin their process of developing as human beings, hopefully turning out better than you do, by learning the life lessons that youth sports teaches. And if you are the person, and yes, ladies, I'm including you in this, soccer moms.
I was going to say, unfortunately, the women are usually the worst.
If you get mad that Aiden, Brayden, Jaden got fouled in a basketball game to the point that you are at least even sounding like you are going to threaten either a youth league referee who is, in most cases, donating their time, and in some cases where they are getting paid, not getting paid very much, or worse, because I've seen it happen.
I just recalled another time back in the day when my son was wrestling, was sitting near some of the other parents. One of them got really mad and said, I'm going to go down there and show him a thing or two. I got it my $150 for bail, and my first thought is, how does she know exactly how much it costs for bail? And I shouldn't have questioned that, because looking at her, she absolutely knew how much it costs for bail, and then I wanted to find a way to go sit somewhere else without it looking obvious that I was going to sit somewhere else.
If you were the type of parent, and I'm including you in this, soccer moms, you're not special, that little Brayden, Aiden, Jaden gets fouled by another player, and you go after the refs, or even worse, and I've also seen it happen, you go after another child. If you found my son again, I'm going to come out there. Stop. You're the reason that it is becoming more and more and more difficult to have youth sports. And when we lose youth sports within a community, whether it is one or the country at large, kids are worse off for it. I coached youth baseball and basketball till right up when I moved here. I actually want to get back into it, but working AMs makes it very difficult to do.
Well, I can tell you where to go. That way I can make fun of the ref.
I would love to get back into coaching youth sports. It was one of my favorite things to do. And I will tell you, as somebody who did it, there is not a better feeling in the world than wrapping up a season and having the next season start and having a kid come over and go, Coach, I wish I was on your team again. Coach, I miss you. Coach, you were awesome. It's the best feeling in the world for me, honestly. Like, I'm sure it's probably different. You know, maybe the best feeling in the world is when your kid does something, but I don't have kids. So having somebody else that I coach their kid come up and go, you made an impact on my kid, best feeling in the world, okay? And I'll tell you why I stopped. I stopped because in a YMCA league down in Florida, in a YMCA league, I'm going to use the word accosted. They didn't physically touch me. But I got my grill gotten into by a couple of dads who were real, real mad that I didn't let their child pitch. And Rob being Rob, And sometimes when frustrated, the filter between the brain and the mouth just disappears on me a little bit. Rob looked at their dad and said, "Do you want to know why your child did not pitch?" And they said, "Yeah." And I said, "'Cause he sucks at it." Now, turns out that wasn't the right answer for a, I think this was my U10 team. So not the right answer for a 9-year-old's dad of your kid sucks at it. But one of the things that sports teaches you is that you don't get to just do whatever you want to do. Sometimes you got to sacrifice doing the thing that you love to do the thing that you're best at doing to best help your team succeed. And so if you are the type of parent, mom or dad, man or woman, husband, wife, don't care. If you're the type of parent who goes and gets into the face of coaches or referees, you have two options. Option number one, go volunteer. Go coach. Go ref. If it's that easy to get it right, you do it. You got a kid. You should have more invested in this than anybody. You know what the second option is? And I thought about this long and hard, the proper way to phrase this to make sure I get it right. The second option is shut the up. Those are your two options.
I like that one.
Yeah.
That one's a good one.
Go volunteer. Go coach. Go officiate. Go be an administrator. Go do something to help the team. Go do something to help develop these kids. Or shut the up.
It's not that hard to do, people. Well, maybe for some people. All right,
you would be stunned.
Well, I've been around some people like that, like yesterday. The first thing that's texting is Fantastic Four.
I'm interested. I'm
Rob. You hear my tone? The trailer just dropped. I haven't heard it. No.
Dude, it's not worth getting up for.
Dude, I don't. I hope sound helps my thoughts right now.
Okay.
The thing is all over the trailer. It's not. I think.
Is he unthing looking? Is it a new take on the thing?
No.
What's your thing with the thing?
It's obviously CGI, which you have to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to find not a lot of giant stone-bodied actors out there nowadays.
You know, watching the Hulk in multiple movies, done pretty well. This to me, it stood out to me watching it on the little screen right here. So maybe it's better in a bigger screen, and not hearing the sound. It's
looks like the OG thing, and I kind of love it though.
No, it does.
Looks like the OG thing.
It does, but it also looks like a video game right there. But he is talking to another CGI.
Yeah,
he's talking to the robot, and so I have to wait till I hear the sound. So you're excited about it. I'm worried about the thing is trending right now. People are not happy. What?
Galactus.
Yes, that was already teased last year.
But I see him.
He doesn't
now.
Look that big.
Yeah, that's also true. Yeah, he's not a planet eater, but I also wonder if they're going to do something with him, like sizing up, sizing down.
I don't know.
Also, I feel like OG comic book Galactus would be real hard to get right in a movie universe. Like, I almost kind of feel like you're a little obligated to scale him down. If you are telling me there's a cosmic entity coming to threaten that can eat a planet, and then you're telling me that Pablo Pascal's going to stop him?
It's Pedro. But
I mean, Pedro,
whatever. That was my other thing is I want to hear, does Pedro Pascal sound like he's doing a Corona commercial? Or does he sound like what you expect Mr. Fantastic to sound like? Again, we'll find out here in about...
I think that's my interesting thing
here. About 10 minutes from now when you get to get in there and listen to the sound.
You gave us the most comic book accurate thing we've ever seen. And for the record, thank you, because I'm a big fan. You gave us the most comic book accurate thing of all time, but you went totally the other direction with Reed Richards. Fine. I'm not against it. I'm interested to see how this turns out. I really wish it would have been Jim Halpert. Jim Halpert was so perfect as Reed Richards.
Yeah, but the last time we saw him, he got shredded.
Yeah, but that was variant Reed.
He literally got shredded.
Can I tell you what my biggest holdup, and I realize I've been hanging on this for a while. My biggest holdup is that we didn't get to see him do Mr. Fantastic things.
True.
He just walked around and then spaghettified.
Yes.
Like, why, you couldn't let him throw one big gigantic fist? Come on now.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. Also, staying along those lines.
Thing looks awesome.
The last thing, well, I don't know, man.
Thing looks awesome.
Kang is X-ing.
King?
Kang.
Kang? As in the Conqueror?
Yes.
They're going to end up bringing him back, right?
It looks like that's the rumor.
I think you almost have to. Hey, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to us talk about the Fantastic Four for the past couple of minutes. I don't care if you don't like it. I did. Have a great rest of your day. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again. But better, tell your friends about us. We're trying to get rich and famous. We'll see you back here tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later!